Yo,
what up, my lad?
Yo, what up, bro? Y'all stand for OT?
I know I am.
Yeah. Nah, get that bread, bro.
Watch out, boss lady coming.
Gotta stay for OT.
You know what time it is, hold on.
Listen up, workers. Overtime is mandatory this weekend. No excuses.
What's happening, everybody? How y'all doing? This is your main man, DJ Highstar, and you're joining me for another episode of Mandatory Overtime. I appreciate everybody that's taking the time out to join me here. The aim here at Mandatory Overtime is to just recalibrate how we define manhood in our community, and we'll do that through conversation here. You know, when I say we, I'm referring to the community. So everybody is, y'all all welcome. You know what I mean? In an audio journal of an 80s baby and a social experiment in consistency. Could be anywhere in the world, but you're here listening to me, and I appreciate that. I appreciate y'all for that. Thank you very much. Also, don't confuse this with the manosphere. It's just a place where the manosphere. So pull up a chair, like, comment, subscribe, and share. Make some noise, because your man is here. You heard? Live from Charlotte, America. I say I got a Russian sound engineer and a check one two. What's going on, y'all? Time to go to work. Before we get started, always remember you can email us here at mandatoryot704@gmail.com. mandatoryot704@gmail.com. Hope everybody's doing well. I'm ecstatic. May not be as animated this episode because, again, I'm literally doing overtime. But listen, man, fresh off of a good Panthers win against the Cowboys this past weekend on Sunday. Shout out to the Cowboys for showing up. And shout out to Rico Dowdle. Okay, and the Panthers for taking care of business with that. Took care of business 30-27 on Sunday. We got the Jets coming up this weekend. It's no sleeper right there. Definitely a possible trap game. But we fresh off of the Miami win and the Atlanta win. In the middle of that, we had that New England Patriots loss. So it's a very competitive season. More competitive season than I would have thought we were going to have this year. So I'm definitely happy about that with my Panthers. Salute once again, man. Keep pounding. Guys, keep pounding. Yeah. Okay. So if y'all didn't pick up last week, one of the new rules, instead of me saying pause all the time, I'm going to try to hit the man gong just to let y'all know that I know. You feel me? But speaking of football talk, it may be considered a random thought, but it's something I was thinking about this past week, and it's the best fan bases in the NFL by division. So, this is a... Let me see here.
I know you're going to dig this.
So, I think division fanhood is very important. You know, you have your rivals in the division, so you always have your people that you beefing with, but then you come together in unity or solidarity for the most part when it comes to beefing outside your division. NFL football talk, y'all. So just giving y'all the warning, right? Mandatory overtime. Let's go to work.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
So I'm going to give my rankings first, and then I'm going to open up the email lines or whatever, because I want y'all to share your feedback on top NFL fan bases by division. So I'm going to give my top three. My number one, well, let's start with number three. My number three is the AFC East. Got New England Patriots, Buffalo Bills, Miami Dolphins, and New York Jets. You think about all four of those teams, very visible fan bases. Think about the extremities of a Buffalo fan base, the kind of global appeal of a Patriots fan base and a Miami Dolphins fan base. Then you got the New Yorker spirit with the Jets fan base. So that's my number three. Number two, it's a tough one, y'all, but dang, it's just tough. But my number two would be the AFC North. So with that, you have the Steeler Nation, Pittsburgh, Cincinnati Bengals, Baltimore Ravens, and the Cleveland Browns. I think Cleveland and Pittsburgh anchor that division down when it comes to fans. Then you got Houdet Nation, and you got Big Trust. You got, like, you know what I'm saying, M&T and Baltimore, the black culture of as far as, like, with the Ravens. So I got to give them credit, too. Stinky 1-5 record right now, by the way, but I don't know. Hope they get it together somehow. That's my number two. Before I get to my number one, my honorable mention would have to be the NFC North. With them, you have the Packers, okay, team that's owned by the community or by the town. It's very important. Got Lions fans that are just getting kind of reinvigorated with their recent team success. Minnesota, so you got your Vikings fans. They're out there. And then Chicago Bears, you know, the Chicago Bears fans lived through the bad news Bears years and all of that stuff and are always looking for their team to turn the corner. That's my honorable mention, the NFC North. So number one, though, that I have is none other than the NFC South. Nah, I'm just playing. No, we got to give love with love, credit and love where it's due. And the NFC East, hands down, I think, has the number one fan base or whatnot whenever it comes to NFL by division. You got the Eagles fans. They fresh off of Super Bowl wins. Washington fans had to convert from Redskins to Commanders. And then, of course, Dallas fans. Come on. And then, again, you got the New York Edge there with the Giants fans that's up there. So get off my lawn, you know, out of here, shit like that. But the Dallas fans, insufferable Dallas fans, the Washington fans, and the Eagles fans, ad nauseum. So NFC East, definitely number one rabid fan base, if you will, or the top fan base. But it's a little mini list for me. I'd love to hear from y'all and what y'all think, all of my NFL fans. And I need y'all to tap in anyways and check in on the email, mandatoryot704@gmail.com. When you check in, I need y'all to check in and tap in with your favorite. Who's your favorite football team? And then give me some feedback on who y'all feel is the top fan bases and the most rabid fan bases when it comes to division. Okay? So, yeah, let's do that. But let's go ahead and move forward. So this week, while we talk, this week, the episode's topic is Arrested Development. So we're going to talk a little bit of Arrested Development. No, I'm not talking about the group. Shout out to Tennessee, Wendell, Mr. Wendell, if you will, everyday people, all of that. But we're going to talk a little bit of Arrested Development this week. That's the topic. But prior to doing that, though, going to get into a little bit of notes that I have here before getting into random notes and building wisdom for the week. A couple weeks ago, or a couple episodes ago, I said that we're living in a distracted dystopia or whatnot. And first things first, I think about how we got here to this distracted dystopia, wherever we at, right? So
that water. He about to get this work.
So I feel like there's three main events that occurred that got us to where we at today. All right. My fault, y'all. Pardon me. Pardon self. But number one, there was some kind of like viral challenge or trend going on where everybody wanted to stand brooms up on its end. Do y'all remember that? Okay, so once we started that, you started entering in a whole nother dimension or realm with what y'all was allowing to go down, okay? Because God-fearing parents and grandparents that I have, we was not about to be doing no kind of witchcraftery or none of that stuff inside the house. So that broom stuff, that threw me for a loop whenever that trend popped up. I hope y'all remember it. The second thing I would say is these youngins, everybody considering themselves demons, a demon time and all of that stuff. Ever since that started happening, I don't know, y'all, we've accepted that and yeah. So, you know, accompanying that or what came with that, especially up in New York and stuff like that, they put stuff on their dead man's or on my dead homies. And it just brings a morbid type of energy, okay, where death is in the air. I'm not a fan, but I'm definitely not a fan of considering myself on demon time or in the demon. I'm a demon driving, like, even it may seem petty, but driving like Hellcats and all of that. Like, I don't like promoting that type of energy. But lastly, the third one of the biggest things that occurred, I think, in society that got us to where we at today in this dystopia is people putting stuff on GOD, the big GOD, like just saying it outright. Yeah, nah, on like that was blasphemous whenever I was coming up, believe it or not, right? We don't use the Lord's name in vain and stuff like that. Eh? I'm an old nigga, so what do you want? But again, audio journal of an 80s baby, but we never really thought about that type of stuff. My generation, we wasn't even trying to say certain names in the, like Candyman in the mirror three times. So we thought that all of that was demonic and dealing with the devil. But I wanted to play out this clip from one Skip Bayless. So I want y'all to peep this, because I've been talking about thing for a while as far as this dystopia we live in, and I hope that some of my stuff ring true. But I want y'all to hear Skip talking about Travis Hunter. This is a clip, an excerpt of a 28-minute post that he posted up on X, on Twitter, with regards to Travis Hunter and his choice to be. I'm going to just let this clip play and then we're going to come back to it. All right, hold on real quick.
So allow me to tell you why there was no way that Travis Hunter should have chosen to be baptized on the morning of a 1 o'clock game in Jacksonville, where he plays obviously for the Jaguars. Not under normal circumstances, but here's the point. These are not normal circumstances for Travis Hunter, the football player. The Jags are using him so little, especially on defense, where he is the most gifted, all-time gifted, that Travis Hunter is starting to lose interest. He's starting to check out mentally on the Jags. So he was actually happy to be baptized on a game day morning, because football isn't taking that much concentration or focus or pregame mental preparation. Nope, not now. Now, I'm certainly not suggesting that getting baptized was any kind of protest on Travis's part. It was just a stunning indication, a stunning indication of where his head is at or not at right now. It's not really into football right now. I'll get to that point in just a
minute. All right, we cutting his, yeah, that ain't even wisdom. We just cutting this white man off. Because, first of all, what did I tell you the other week, man? Nigga. I don't like white people commenting on black people issues, right? Now, granted, this is a sports issue, people would see this as, but Skip, who the f*** are you to even tell anybody how they need to be policing themselves and acting outside of the hours of their work? Like, what? And then to say that choosing baptism over a football game was like selfish, or to imply that it was selfish. Come on, bro. Get the f*** out of here, Skip. Like, the scare. So, again, to support what I was saying a few weeks ago, the dystopia that we live in. Now, granted, there's a lot of things that I don't just consume the clip and not look at the whole video and stuff like that, but this was one of them, to be honest. It's a 28-minute clip. That was the first maybe 2 minutes of it, or a minute and a half. So regardless of how the rest of it goes, the 26 minutes or whatnot, and even if Skip has a point that he's driving home or anything like that, it is simply not acceptable. And it's whack. Like, I don't, it's disgusting. It sounds demonic. Like, there's no way to reverse the things that he was saying to me, or to justify it. I'm sorry. Call me ignorant and closed-minded with that portion of it, but to normalize that, or to make that even a conversation, and to, you know, that's a possible debate of agent of discourse, if you will, where people could converse about, yo, maybe we should, was Travis Hunter really wrong for getting baptized before the game, or does he prioritize? Like, come on, man. Are we serious right now? This is the world that we're living in. So this is the thing. Like, America, even though we preach Christian values and stuff like that as a country, as a nation, there's no official religion there is official religion of America, but the official religion is not Christianity, Catholicism, Islam, or any of that. America's religion is football, all right? Let's be real, seriously.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
America's religion is football. Think about a Sunday, how ritualistic Sunday is. You got games all day long. So before, you used to have the 1 o'clock game and the afternoon game. Then they added in the Sunday night game, right? Then he had Monday night football added to that. Give us a little bit more football. Sundays and Mondays for NFL football. Great. Then let's add in a Thursday. So Thursday night football. We're going to get an early start on the football week. Thursday night football is regular. Now this year, we had the London games, or the international games. So every week, some team out of the two teams out of the league are going to be playing at like 9:30 in the morning on Sunday. And of course, when you get to playoff time, you start having playoff Saturdays and stuff. So the NFL consumes your week. If you are a fantasy football player, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Because if you don't mess around and make your adjustments to your lineup, you look down and look up, and the week started all over again, just like that. So the whole week you're consumed with football. As Americans, it's something that we're consumed with. Super Bowl, we, you know, obsessed with it. And it's the biggest spectacle and stuff like that we put on every year. The harsh truth of it is, it's a ritual. I'm gonna be real with y'all. American football is doing nothing but mirroring gladiator sports from the Roman times and stuff. Let's be serious. Let's be real. I haven't seen the movie Him, but I've seen a bunch of trailers and stuff like that. And that's essentially what they're doing. Like, when you hear Skip talk about Travis Hunter, he specifically says, Travis Hunter, the football player. Hey, bro, what are you talking about, man? Why are you commodifying me as an object and stripping me of my humanity? Like, that's the problem that I have with that. Like, there's no human element to that. You just looking at him as a football player, and the choices that he needs to make personally, whether it comes to his faith and stuff, is to choose football over something like getting baptized. It's the only thing I pull from that. It may be irresponsible for me to say that in that way, but Skip has to understand it was irresponsible for him to lead that way and even say that. That shit made me sick to my stomach, man. I can't give him any more light with that. That's disgusting, man. Anyways, yo, I want us to move forward, right? And we're going to get into our wisdom. Well, first, before we get into our wisdom building for the week, I do need to say, rest in peace to the brother D'Angelo. His touch, not just want the whole world to know about. Eerily, I've been playing this Angie Stone, of course, whenever I've been trying to figure out how I'm going to do the brotherly love segment and stuff like that. And this past week, we lost a legend, neo-soul legend, D'Angelo. I'm going to show him some more love on social media, but because there's a bunch of songs that y'all don't know that D'Angelo wrote and participated in and stuff like that. But, excuse me, I was first introduced to D'Angelo with Brown Sugar and just the 90s neo soul movement and stuff like that. But rest in peace to that brother, and prayers for Angie and D'Angelo's child that they have together. He's a musician, I believe. Let's see here, Michael Archer Jr. Yeah. So prayers to Michael Archer Jr. And it's tough. He's lost both of his parents within the span of a year, so it's just tough. I just want to send that love back out there, and definitely. All right, so right now I want to go ahead and first of all, we're gonna move forward and trying to build a wisdom. Oh yeah, yeah, yeah. Let's see here. My fault, y'all.
Is that Prince or King?
Let's go ahead. We're gonna get into our building wisdom segment.
Mathematics.
Hey, yo, no disrespect, but we ain't in all of that, son.
Build, destroy. The build is to elevate the mentalities of self and those around self. To add positive energy to every nation. To build, you must first start from the root, which is the knowledge foundation, and add on to the highest peak. To destroy is to eliminate and destroy any and all negativity that enters my cipher of supreme harmony.
Peace, God.
Peace, God.
Come on, son.
All right, so this week we got two pieces of wisdom that we're going to build on. The first piece of wisdom actually is going to discuss the origins of a popular song that we all may be familiar with. I want to give y'all a little bit of Charleston Geechee, Gullah Geechee history. Let's see here. All right, here we go, y'all. Here we go.
If you think it means being conciliatory, docile, to reconcile and have a coconut smile with your oppressors, your enemies.
He said kumbaya.
You've been bamboozled, hoodwinked, run amok. You didn't land on Plymouth Rock. Plymouth Rock landed on you. Word to Malcolm X. The word kumbaya came from a phrase, a lyric from the Gullah Geechee song Come By Here that was sung by Gullah Geechee people in bondage. It was a song of liberation that called on a higher power. But kumbaya was not just a song, but a signal for plans of escape, rebellion. So fast forward to 1926, when H. Wiley, a Gullah Geechee man, was recorded by folklorist Robert Winslow Gordon. Gordon recorded the title of the song, Come By Here, phonetically, as he heard it, sung in H. Wiley's Gullah Geechee accent. Kumbaya.
Kumbaya, somebody need you, Lord, kumbaya. Somebody need you, Lord, kumbaya. Oh, Lord, kumbaya.
While the song Kumbaya never lost its meaning within the Gullah Geechee community, outside of the Gullah Geechee community, it was hijacked, whitewashed by white folk singers of the day, most notably Pete Seeger, and it became a camp song, a song that white people associated with fun times. Only in recent years has the Gullah Geechee origin of Kumbaya been restored, but in many minds, the damage has been done. It is still whitewashed as something weak, harmless, when in reality, its origins are anything but. If you think that a song of freedom sung by people in bondage, get free, now being viewed by black people as an embarrassing notion, is a coincidence? The CIA's work is done. We see this happening in real time with words like woke. Dwight Mann using the old if you can't beat him, join him method. Licking his fingers and putting cooties on things that we've created so that we don't want to have anything to do with it anymore. All the while, Dwight Mann knows the truth, which is why he lied. Stop perpetuating Dwight's lies. If y'all gonna reclaim the N-word, surely you can reclaim Kumbaya. Yeah.
Bang, bang. All right, bang. So that's our first piece of wisdom that we're going to build on. You know, I just wanted to put that out there to y'all. So, y'all, as y'all know, I have deep, deep ties to Charleston, Edisto Island, all of the above. Kumbaya, something that we hear all the time growing up. But again, it was really Kumbaya, my lord. Kumbaya. Okay? Okay? Shout out to everybody down there in the Chuck. All my Geechies. Second piece of wisdom is going to come from an unlikely source. Wouldn't expect, or an unexpected source, if you will. Sometimes your wisdom comes from unexpected sources, right? And you sometimes you just got to take the wisdom for what it is and thank God that he put certain people around you and in your life. So I'm going to go ahead and play this piece of wisdom that we're going to build on, y'all.
There should be grapes, turnips, vegetables, everything on the streets every day for the homeless to eat. You're making us pay for water, you son of a... You're making us pay for grapes, apples, things that God gave us for free. Ha! You will burn in hell when I'm through with you. You will not be allowed in my father's house at all.
All right, so that's our second piece of wisdom this week, y'all. Okay. No funny, not even trying to be sarcastic and none of that, yo. But that's Orlando Brown, formerly of that, so Raven, child Hollywood actor and stuff. Was little RJ on Family Matters. But yeah, Orlando Brown's adulthood hasn't been the greatest in the public light, but I think he was spot on with that. People like was trolling him and stuff on that. I think it might have been a Vlad interview that he was doing, but it sounded like he was crazy, but he was spot on with that. And I get depressed every time I go inside of the grocery store. Can we talk about it? Hey, walking past orange juice the other day, that's like $6. Seriously, what are we doing? And then the portion, y'all made the bottle smaller. Come on, y'all not fooling nobody. All right, so that's our two pieces of wisdom that we building on this week, man.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
Remember, could contribute any pieces of wisdom that we could build on, or you could just email the show, mandatoryot704@gmail.com, mandatoryot704@gmail.com. So today's episode, we're going to be talking about arrested development. And that term itself, I think about it a lot of times, and whether it's us using that term to describe kind of people acting childish or whatnot, like arrested development is something that I think we suffer from as men that we got to come to terms with and be honest about. Now, arrested development is a state where psychological or physical development has stopped prematurely, often due to trauma or neglect in formative years. For adults, this typically refers to a failure to mature emotionally and socially, resulting in behaviors and attitudes that are more characteristic of a younger person. So, we're going to have to get to this show.
Do the knowledge, nigga. All
right, so with arrested development, the first... I want to get into random thoughts. No, let's talk about arrested developments, and I might talk about some random thoughts later. But with that being said, stunted growth or like traumatic experiences kind of keeping people where they're at. That's a lot of times how arrested development starts and is formed and stuff like that. I'll speak for myself, for instance. I had a couple close calls back in college where I was wilding too much outside of the classroom, and there was a couple chances that I would have got kicked out of school, right? Scholastically, grades-wise, whatever. And, or running into legal issues and stuff like that. And with me doing so, that kept me at that age, if you will, or stunted me being able to mature until I faced what I was dealing with at that time and kind of got through it, if that makes sense. You see it a lot of times with childhood actors and things like that, where they've never had a childhood, or they were adored as younger, you know, people for all of the prodigal skills that they may have, right, and possess, because they're such a prodigy and they got so much potential. And then as they grow up, they never mentally get past that age that they were whenever they were celebrated, right, as a 16 or a 17 year old or something like that. One of the main signs to me of arrested development, though, with us as a community, mostly I'm talking to us in the community, is this aesthetic or motif that we have of school well past our school years. Way after, can I talk, y'all? Way after we graduate or leave school, we still got this school aesthetic and school motif that we run around with. So how many times will you hear people be like, oh, they wouldn't have been at the cool kids table. You can't sit with us. Right. You wouldn't have been able to sit at the cool kids table with us. Like, or I'll just hear different references to school or to our younger years where people are grown. And, you know, if they're drawing examples, if they're giving examples of anything, they're referring back to those times, like when we were in high school or in college and stuff. It's just something that I observed, something that I pointed out. So y'all let me know if I'm bugging with that. Another sign of arrested development, I think, is the language that we use, of course. So if y'all notice, whenever I start off the show, I'll be like, it's your main man, DJ High Star. I stop saying, it's your boy. I stopped saying that a while ago. A couple years ago, to be honest. Like, I don't say that. Yo, it's your boy. It's your boy, Romy Rome. Because I'm not young, man. I'm not no young man like that. You feel what I'm saying? I'm embracing aging and stuff and growing and maturing. Or it's your girl. It's your girl so-and-so. And I'm here. It's your girl. Come on, man. Let's just grow past that, in other words. And granted, that might just be some AAVE or some, like, colloquialisms that we use in-house as black people. But let's elevate that a little bit. The whole, I'm at the crib. Yo, where you at? I'm at the crib. Y'all remember the beginning of Baby Boy, where it's like a little monologue talking about all of that type of stuff and kind of just how we're stunted in our growth. I think the whole premise behind Baby Boy was arrested development, now that I think about it. So other examples that I have written down here, I have written down the Al Bundy syndrome. So it kind of goes to what I was saying earlier. Whenever you're celebrated in high school and stuff like that, or you do your thing in high school and that's where you may peak at with whatever perceived success. And that's all you can talk about whenever you get around people and stuff like that. You're never talking about progress or anything like that or what you're doing presently. You're just always referring back to the good old days or your high school days or, yo, remember on the football team when we did this, this and that? And you always referring to that. That's, to me, symptoms or signs of being stunted or stuck in a stage of arrested development. Read this on social media a few weeks back where they say, like, to live in the past is is to live in memories. To live in the future is to live in imagination. And the only thing that we can really do is be present and to live in the present, do in the present, act in the present. So I think there's way too many people that live in their memories. Memories has a place for us to, boom, reminisce, get that nostalgic feeling, boom, enjoy it or whatnot, value it, cherish it, and then keep it moving. You can't sit in memories or sit in the past. It just won't progress again. It won't grow, won't develop. Stay in the state of arrested development. So those were the kind of the examples that I had. Definitely that school motif. Something that I look out for is just, yeah, when people kind of refer to anything about school, you know, like I said, mainly the whole cool kids table. Yeah, you wouldn't be invited to sit with the cool kids. Okay, yeah, you got it. Let's see here. So also with talking about arrested development, I think of rappers often, or people that's in this entertainment industry, they're trying to market and to appeal to the younger crowd constantly. a crowd that's in their 20s, a crowd that's in, you know, that's younger, typically speaking. So when they do that, they are like trying to make themselves seem youthful. So a couple of things that stand out to me, I don't have these clipped up or anything like that, but please believe me, these happen on the internet. But Fabio Foreign, I think it was when he was interviewing with Jim Jones, and he's getting back to the Nas thing, I believe, and bringing that back up, rehashing it for whatever unnecessary reason. He said that Chief Keef was an influence of his growing up. And Fabio is about 35 or 36. So calling somebody younger than you an influence is like calling them big bro. You know, I'm going to just keep it funky. Like, that was so, it was cringy to hear, Fabio. But you said cringy things recently, and you spelled things cringy as well.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
But so, Fabio, you're definitely a main case study when it comes to the Arrested Development. But also Jim Jones, I need you to go ahead and step to the front of the HR, bro. Of the conference room. Okay. Of the union steward office. But yeah, bro, you definitely, like, it's like you go out of your way to try to show that you is, they call Jim Jones a teenier citizen. I was crying. A teenier citizen, though? But listen, now he's embracing the whole thing. Yeah, I'm the oldest YN and all of that stuff. But it's truly sad, honestly. It's truly sad, though. Like, again, I want my brothers to grow up, but, you know, I see him on Kai's in that stream. Cool. He's embracing his age on Kai's stream. But what made it cringy, he gets Cardi, Playboy Cardi, on the phone, and he's calling him twin over the phone. Again, I'm not playing any of these clips. They are nauseating. You get brain rot when you watch them. But he's calling Playboy Cardi twin. What is that? Like, in... Another sign of Arrested Development is trying to fit in with today's vibes. Like, whenever it comes to sayings and colloquialisms or whatever like that, if I hear twin, if I hear you say cap, if I hear you, come on, yo. If I hear you say mud, okay? If I hear you say riz, aura, any of that stuff, and you are over 35, my boy, nah, you're not doing that. You know what I'm saying? I'm putting you into the senior citizens bucket if I hear you saying any of those terms around me. Okay, don't use cap around me if you grown. Just tell me that I'm, just say, yo, you think I'm lying. I'm gonna say, oh, you capping. That's cap. That sounds so stupid. Granted, young people, y'all have it. Y'all can have it. Have at it. That sounds stupid as man. Be honest. So other than that, though, there's a group of people that are entering their 30s and kind of getting through their 30s right now that pretty much figured that they'll be young forever. And we're seeing how that works out. So famously, Uzi Vert, I remember when Uzi was just getting into the game, he said something like 25-year-old or 26. When I get 25 or 26, I'm going to be an old nigga or old head. He said something along those lines. Excuse me, DJ Academics. His fat. He definitely tries to cosplay as a young adult and cosplay as a forever 20 something year old. It's kind of sick. It's perverted to me as well that these guys want to hang out with the younger crowd so much, right? You look at Aiden Ross and Kai Cenat and stuff like that. With the streaming industry, they've kind of surpassed Academics. And, you know, he'd like to consider himself a big bro to a lot of people that do the YouTube thing and have tried to come up through YouTube, but he can't tell them streamers nothing. They built their own lane and their own path and they doing their thing. But he's sitting his 35-year-old ass around and entertaining them. And again, maybe it should be the other way around. But anywho. So you got DJ Academics, he be acting old, of course, man, Lawberry Graham, Supac Shakur, or whatnot, he definitely, You know, we're talking about Drake, by the way.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. No. It don't cost.
But he, Drake, definitely tries to cosplay as a late 20s, early 30-year-old something. But you could really, when you see the bags in his eyes, you know, you look back at it and you're like, come on, bro. Grow up, man. So, like, yeah, him hanging out with the Yachty's of the world, or him having back and forths with a Kai Cenat, like, all of his lady friends tend to be, you know, a little bit younger. So, yeah, that, those signs of arrested development are all there with him as well. With Dame Dash, I want to kind of call him out. Just be real. Like, got a lot of business done. But this is the thing about arrested development. Is no set age that you get stuck in arrested development at. So I feel like Dame Dash was a young, was a grown man at a young age. Like, he had a mindset of a grown man from the age, you know, since he was younger. But again, the traumatic experience for him, perhaps a combination of things, that early 2000s period was very traumatic for him. So whether it was losing Aaliyah, the Rockefeller breaking up, lawsuits, child support, any of that stuff contributed, I believe, to Dame Dash's stunted growth or arrested development, where you hear him, he sounds like a grown man, but there's still certain things where you like, oh, I thought you would have, you know, grown through that phase. I thought that you would may have, you know, matured past that. So that's definitely another case study. Is your main man, Dame Dash. And again, it's not nobody that I'm going to be, I'm not looking to shit on none of these brothers and none of that stuff. I'm just, you know, making observations and bringing it to the forefront, because, like I said, arrested development is something that is holding all of us back as far as men or black men in our community. So I definitely wanted to touch on that. Now, while we're talking about music, though, I bring up Random Thoughts. I want to talk about my random thought would be towards rappers and stuff like that. But today's barrier of entry for rap is very, very low. I have written down here that today's barrier of entry for rap is comparable to the garage bands of the 60s and 70s. So a garage band was just that, right? A group of friends after school, they'll get up, get together in your parents' garage. Back in the 60s, 70s, is before my time. And even in the 80s, though, they were doing it and stuff. And they get together. Shoot, you'll have a drummer. Might have a bass player or a guitar player. Have a lead singer. You know what I mean? Put together a band and have a little garage band. Maybe go around doing talent shows, doing local shows. But then, you know, those were the rags to riches stories for a lot of the rock and roll bands, you know, historic, iconic rock and roll bands that we see today. Those would be the glory stories, like the Guts to Glory and, you know, We Made It From Nothing stories that they would have a lot of times, is that they started off as garage bands. And in today's world, I see that barrier of entry kind of for rap as similar or a way lower barrier of entry. So the reason that I think about that is when I think about anybody that is reported in the news, especially if they're a young black or Hispanic person, if they have any kind of, like, say, one video up on YouTube or one song on SoundCloud, they're being labeled a rapper. A young rapper, you know what I'm saying? And you're going to say their name, so-and-so has been like, no, that was just homie that worked at Compare Foods, and he happened to have a song or two. He's not a rapper. Okay, let's not give him that much credit. Okay, homeboy was scamming them cards way before he put a song out. So he's not a rapper. He's not a musician. He's a scam artist, cosplaying as one. See what I'm saying? Now, with that being said, because, again, it's, I think it blurs the line to where rapper starts to become synonymous with criminal. And that's just not the business. That's not the move. Like, that's just not accurate and stuff like that. However, we, as we try to fight against that narrative, there are rappers that are contributing to that narrative, which is making it more frustrating or more difficult for us to get away from that stigma that all rappers are criminals and stuff like that. So I want to talk real quick about rappers luxury drilling, because it's a damn shame. Okay, when did rappers start luxury drilling, spinning in foreigns, shooting in designer? It's ridiculous. So I have a couple examples written down, like K-Flock, Lucci, Young Thug, Lil Durk. All of these gentlemen. K-Flock is on camera. He got on a pair of $2,000 jeans, and he's in the Bronx or whatever, and he's drilling in it. But essentially, he's caught on camera smacking something. Pause. Like, or instead of pause. But, yeah, K-Flock's situation is well documented. It's on camera. This happened after he already got, you know, his fame or his notoriety, in other words. So he's, again, you drilling after y'all are popping. You really live in Grand Theft Auto out here. Lucci.
Hold up. He's going to get this work.
Lucci, Thug, we already know they have the well-documented history where in Atlanta they is using them streets as Grand Theft Auto as well. All right. What they call him, 650 Lucci. He riding around in the 650 Benz and spinning and wilding out. Thug, you doing, you know, doing wild stuff too, renting different cars and wilding. And then I have Lil Durk written down too. Again, these is all people that have had careers, successful careers in music. It's very difficult to even do that. And then after having the career in music and being established as a musician, okay, then you start drilling and all of that stuff, or you continue with the nonsense in the streets. And it's ridiculous, yo. It's ridiculous. Dirk stuff, really, a lot of his stuff started snowballing, of course, after the demise of his partner, King Von. A lot of the stuff that he's dealing with now is because of quote-unquote get back or revenge for Von. And now he's got himself all tied up and caught up in all of this mess as well. So, yeah, Dirk, I mean, shit's crazy. While you in jail, a lot of artists, they don't realize, but that momentum, man, the momentum that you lose when you in jail is crazy. So you making yourself work twice or thrice as hard when you get out, because you got to get the momentum back and then continue to go on the project, you know, the trajectory that you were on in the first place. So whether it's Bobby Shmurda, Fabio Foreign, Casanova, Pusha T. Casanova's still locked up, by the way, but Pusha T, like any of these guys, they're going to lose. You, if you're not in today's day and age, if you're not in the public eye all the time, then they're going to forget about you. So it's just something to think about. All of the musicians out there and stuff like that, whenever y'all doing these, taking penitentiary chances and go ahead and remove yourself from the streets, just think about all of the momentum that you're going to lose when doing so. You know what I mean? It's just, it's not worth it. It's not worth it at all. So with that being said, though, before I end this off, a couple things. There's one more video that I did want to play for us, but before doing that, I also, it's a random thing written down because it goes with Arrested Development. But me personally, I call my mother mommy and I call my father daddy. Okay? I've noticed, I call my mom mommy and I call my father daddy. I've noticed that in New York, I've got some partners. Again, they going to call their mother mommy. All right? And then in Charleston, it's nothing for a dude to call his father daddy. I've seen that a couple times. Now, in New York, I don't know where that disconnect is. I don't know. I really haven't heard a lot of men call their father daddy in New York. But down south, I have heard it multiple times, and I still feel comfortable doing it today as a 39-year-old man. May sound crazy, but I do call my mother mommy. And my father, daddy, this is maybe an opportunity for me to grow through some, and you know, me to observe and build past this arrested development. But I just wanted to be honest with y'all and let y'all know that and kind of get y'all feedback on that. Is that bull? I won't stop doing it regardless of what y'all say. But is that a cool situation? Are y'all in agreement with that? Or is that something that, you know, a man shouldn't be doing past a certain age, calling his parents mommy and daddy? Y'all let me know. MandatoryOT704@gmail.com. Also, remember, you can always rate and leave a review for the podcast on Apple Podcast app. But I wanted to just play a little bit of this from a brother named Ernie Chambers out of Omaha, Nebraska. The video is titled The Radical Barber. But Brother Chambers went on to be a senator in Nebraska. And this video is pretty iconic. But in the video, he is speaking with a white pastor that visited his barbershop to discuss racial relations. And this is in 1966. So I want y'all to hear this. And then we will give some brotherly love and we'll get on out of here or whatnot. But I want y'all to hear this, all right?
A few particulars that make Omaha different from New York are just incidental. The problem exists because white people think they're better than black people and they want to oppress us and they want us to allow ourselves to be oppressed.
Well, this is the I agree with you perfectly. This is the basic problem.
Then what do you
that
want
white
to
people
me about?
Think they're better than
that I can
others?
Do? I can't solve the problem. You guys pull the strings that close schools. You guys draw the boundaries that keep our kids restricted to the ghetto. You guys write up the restrictive covenants that keep us out of houses. So it's up to you to talk to your brothers and your sisters and persuade them that they have a responsibility. We've assumed ours for over 400 years, and we're tired of this kind of stuff now. We're not going to suffer patiently anymore. No more turning the other cheek. No more blessing our enemies. No more praying for those who despitefully use us. We're going to show you that we've learned the lessons you've taught us. We've studied your history, and you did not take over this country by singing We Shall Overcome. You did not gain control of the world like you have it now by dealing fairly with a man and keeping your word. You're treaty breakers, you're liars, you're thieves, you rape entire continents and races of people. Then you wonder why these very people don't have any confidence or trust in you. Your religion means nothing. Your law is a farce and we see it every day. You demonstrated it in Alabama. And I can say you because you're part of the whole system. You profit from it. In fact, you make your living from it. You couldn't walk around and talk to people, stand up in your pulpit on Sunday and preach nice little songs and say, now we're going to give thanks to the Lord for he is good and old Jesus be among us. As far as we're concerned, your Jesus is contaminated, just like everything else you tried to force upon us is contaminated. Well, so you can have him. And here's what I'll say. I wish you would follow Jesus like we followed him. Because if you did that, then we'd be in charge tomorrow. I think the problem is so bad that we can have no understanding at all.
You think it's gotten to the point where there can never be that reconciliation? That
no. You talk about justice, it means one thing to you, and we talk about it means something else to us. And it'll always be that way. And I'd like you to know I have a terrible feeling against preachers, because I think you guys are the ones who are largely responsible for the problem in the first place. And you can accept it or not any way you choose. And for you, this may be an excursion, you know, in
what,
across the line.
What about the person that wants to listen? I genuinely feel that I want to listen.
Well, if you listen and try to do something, you get kicked out of your church. See, that's the way your people are.
Well, we do make changes. So the changes that have come have been drastic.
God bless you, little brother. Come back and see us again sometime.
Bang, bang, bang.
Shit like that. Shit like that.
Yeah, y'all. So as y'all can see, 1966. It's what, 60 years? Damn near. Not much has changed, though. If y'all heard Senator Chambers or Brother Chambers, he was speaking again to a white pastor and just essentially telling him, you know, he doesn't have any faith in justice from the white man because he feels like the white man's version of justice and his version of justice are two different things. All right, just giving straight no chaser. All right, shout out to Kendrick Lamar, but straight no chaser. And yeah, I This is great, great, great dialogue, great discourse, great conversation, great wisdom dropped, knowledge dropped, wisdom built, if you will. So that's with that. I want to go ahead and we'll move on real quick.
Show love, nigga. It don't show nothing. It don't cost nothing to show a nigga love.
I was doing
nigga.
This game, money.
Show a nigga some love, nigga.
Wabble dabble.
And there you have the duality of DJ Highstar, right? In one second, preaching from the 60s black activists and senators. And the next, I'm playing Philly Fresh or Philly's, I forgot homie name from Philly. Show love. It don't cost nothing to show love. Let's see here. So, big shout out to Wayno. He's doing that. I'll do it myself. Shout out to Curtis King in the DIY community that he has curated and cultivated. Shout out to Antonio Speaks, a recent content creator that I followed on YouTube. He be coming with fire. He be having that fire as far as his videos and stuff. Excuse me. Shout out to Omizi, Charles Brown, Brotherly Love too. You see here, some brotherly love to Mark Lamont Hill and Queens Flip. I wanted to play a clip from their little back and forth this past week, but I didn't line it up. But essentially, Mark Lamont Hill told Queens Flip is exercising his anti-intellectualism, and as it's his right. But he is like, man, Mark, see, that's why, all that stuff, you just be using tricky words with people. And Mark, not missing a beat, he says, no, I use normal words that just sound tricky to you. Bruh. Talk about crying. I was crying, bro. Yo, Judge Mathis and Judge Joe Brown, I can't even watch The Art of Dialogue right now to see what y'all got going on. I see that they beefing, though. Oh, man. It's getting weird, man. It's getting crazy. Notice I have not talked about or discussed at all Lawbry Graham and the outcome of his court case. I just choose not to. So I will ultimately we'll be able to kind of wrap this up then. So with supreme faith that's in God, this prayer is straight from the heart. May the ego and the hubris never break us apart from one brother to another. If no one ever told you before, I love you. All right. And with that, we are out of here, y'all. I appreciate y'all joining me for another episode of Mandatory Overtime. Appreciate that. And y'all make sure that y'all email us mandatoryot704@gmail.com. mandatoryot704@gmail.com. I appreciate that. Appreciate y'all as always. And I'll catch y'all next time.
Hey, everybody, it's closing time. You don't gotta go home, but you can't stay here. Closing time.
Do the knowledge, nigga.
I know you're gonna dig this.